Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants will be on a listen-only mode throughout the entire duration of the conference. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now, may I introduce your speaker for today, Alexander Ravenel. Please go ahead.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. Really excited to be here. My name is Alex Ravenel. I'm with Deloitte & Touche. We've been helping the SROs with consolidated audit trail for the last several years now. What we want to do today is kick off the most recent in a series of CAT-related casts for the industry. We'll talk about a couple of things here that we're going to focus on for today. So first off, we're going to hear from the SROs, from the operating committee, on sort of a general update on the CAT, some of the key requirements for those of you who may be new to the CAT and some of the activities going on there. We'll also get just a quick sort of update on the recent activities, and more importantly, probably what is coming up in terms of activities for the broker-dealers that folks need to be aware of here. From there, we'll move into what will probably be the bulk of the conversation, by time at least, and we'll hear from Thesis CAT, who is the plan processor, regarding the industry technical specifications for order events, the first draft of which was actually published earlier this afternoon. We'll walk through the process around those specs. As I mentioned, it is a draft, with the final being published in November, and we want to spend a little bit of time talking about sort of the process between now and then, how we get there, how we incorporate feedback from the industry, and sort of talk about what that broader process looks like here. For those of you who are joining us on the WebEx today, you can ask questions in the Q&A box in the bottom right hand of the screen here. We're going to aggregate those questions up at the end of the call. We're planning to save some time to come back and go through some of those questions and see what we can answer here and be helpful for you here today. So with that, why don't we move on and jump into this? All right. So what I want to do first here, spend a little bit of time talking about some of the CAT requirements at a high level. I know many of you on the phone have been involved in CAT for some time now, or at least have some high-level familiarity with it. But we also know that there's some of you joining us who may be a little bit newer to this process, and so we do want to make sure that everyone is being kept abreast of sort of the requirements, at least at a high level here. So I just want to talk very high level about some of these requirements here. We can get some more details on these on the website, which you'll see here, catnmfplan.com. So first off, a bit of background here. In November of 2016, the SEC approved the CAT-NMS plan, which requires all of the U.S. broker-dealers will require all the U.S. broker-dealers to report their daily activity in all listed and OTC equity securities, as well as all listed options. Unlike the existing reporting regimes that everybody's probably familiar with today, OATS obviously being the biggest example here, CAT will require reporting of options, number one, as well as allocations and customer data. So CAT has certainly got a broader scope in terms of reportable events and securities than OATS has today. Another key point here, CAT is going to apply to all of the U.S. exchanges and all broker-dealers, including ATSs, who are registered with one of the exchanges or with FINRA. Key point to make here, unlike OATS, the rule, Rule 613, does not provide for any exemptions from the reporting requirements. So all broker-dealers who are registered with one of the exchanges or with FINRA will have to comply with CAT, and there won't be exemptions like there are with OATS today. As I said, there are more details on this you can find at the CAT-NMS Plan website, catnmsplan.com. One of the points I want to make here, you'll see up on the screen here, we've got a list of some of the high-level reportable events and customer activity, or customer information, excuse me, that is required to be reported. More details on that are in the specs, the first draft of which, first discussion draft of which was published today, earlier this afternoon. Obviously, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about that here in just a couple of minutes. I do want to point that out so that folks can go ahead and start to familiarize themselves with some of those specifications here. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Pete Pintori from CHX. He's going to walk through some of the more recent updates that have been happening on the SRO side. Pete?
Thanks, Alex. As Alex said, the initial industry member tech specs were published today. You can find them at catnmsplan.com. There's a tab at the top called How It Works. Click on that. You'll see the industry member tech specs that were published today, as well as the participant tech specs that were published in May and updated in July. So that they're the latest documents, and we'll be talking about them more a little bit later. As far as the issue of the fee filing and the payment of the CAT, that issue is still pending with the commission. Until it's resolved and the SROs revise their fee rule, any invoicing date for CAT reporters is kind of yet to be determined, and stay tuned. As soon as we have more information, we'll pass it on. Another important issue for the industry is the retirement of duplicative systems. The SROs made a filing to the SEC on May 15th, and they are still pending. One important issue to note is that OSP retirement, depending on how that progresses, may impact the reporting date to CAT for some small broker-dealers as they're defined in the CAT rule. Last important issue I think everyone's been asking us about is about the help desk. The help desk for participants in the SEC, that is SROs and FINRA, will be going live hopefully by October 15th, and the industry member help desk will be going live hopefully by November 15th. So, as Alex said, please refer to catnmsplan.com for regular updates, but there are some of the high-level important issues that we've been dealing with and we get a lot of questions about from the industry, so this is the latest. And with that, I'll pass it on to Jeff Wells from CBOE BATS, who will be talking about some upcoming milestones for the CAT.
Thank you very much, Pete. So as we look at the next slide, this gives you the big picture looking ahead over the next few years. You can see near term, we, the SROs, the exchanges, and FINRA are going to report data into the CAT on November the 15th, and that's the key date for us, at the same time as the tech specs for industry member data, order data, come out. The dates, by the way, are predicated on the original date that the SEC approved the CAT NMS plan, which was November 15th last year. And then you can see, looking out to May, there's another very significant date, which is going to be when the tech specs for industry member customer information are put out. So, this is going to be a very important milestone. It's novel for the industry, and, of course, all of these things will demand a lot of attention. In August 2018, we expect to see the majority of broker-dealers, or the large broker-dealers, as they're defined, I suppose, to begin connectivity testing to the CAT. So this is to ensure that they're able to connect and submit data. And then by October 15th, 2018, we would expect the large broker-dealers to begin reporting customer and institutional firm account information into the system. And then the big date, if you like, for most firms, for all firms which are not classified as small, November the 15th, 2018, that's when production is live, reporting all reportable events into the CAT. And you'll see that latter date there going into 2019. These are for the small broker-dealers, which are as defined by the SEC, and there may be some of those small broker-dealers that could be brought in sooner rather than later, depending on how some discussions go with respect to OATS. So it's it could come in closer if it makes sense. So those are the big milestones that everybody needs to bear in mind. It's a multi-year project, but there's a great deal of urgency to get everything in order. So with that, I will hand over now to Ed Watson, who's the Chief Operating Officer of CAT Thesis. Ed?
That's great. Jeff, thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. We're delighted to be here and to be able to introduce ourselves, so I'll start with that. I'm Ed Watson. I'm the Chief Operating Officer Thesis Cat, and with me is Shane Swanson, who is our Chief Compliance Officer. Also joining us are Todd Golub and Preeti Tomar. So, again, we're delighted to be part of the industry outreach, and we will do our best to play our part in communicating with the industry, you know, at large. So, as you can see from page six, you know, we have been engaged with industry groups such as the STA, FIF, and SIFMA. We will continue to be engaged with these groups as we walk through or work through different industry issues. Additionally, that you know, you will be seeing Shane and or myself, as well as some of the other folks on the call, at different upcoming industry events. So, again, we look forward to further communication with the industry, and we'll do our best to play our part. So now I'm going to turn it over to Todd Golub, who will take us through the industry tech specifications, the review process for those specifications, key topics that need to be covered in the specifications, and you know, as well as some communications channels.
Thank you, Ed, and thank you, everyone, for joining us today. We wanted to share with you, I'm sorry, can you go to the next slide, please? Thank you. We wanted to share with industry members our process for creating the technical specifications. As you can see here, we've developed a relatively open process for the creation of the industry specs. Using the participant spec as our starting point, we've worked with the SROs, the SEC, and industry groups to come up with the initial draft posted to the website this afternoon. As we now enter the feedback stage, we will begin to collect feedback, questions, and comments from the industry. As I believe was mentioned earlier, please use techspec@thesiscat.com to send your feedback. It's on this slide. It's also in the spec, so you have the address available to you. As mentioned in the specifications, we'd like all final comments in by October 16th. However, as we plan an iterative process, we ask to get the first round of feedback in by September 25th. We'll then collect the feedback received by the 25th, create FAQs, leading to an intermediate draft to share with the industry. And while it may go without saying, allow me to say it anyway, we will, of course, continue to engage the industry, such as STA, FIF, and SIFMA, as well as the SROs and the SEC. Our plan is to present the final working draft to the Operating Committee and the Technical Committee on November 1st, with plans to publish version 1 on November 15th. We move on to the next slide, please. Thank you. On this slide, we've highlighted those items included in version 0.1, including event types, data dictionary, file format, and reporting hours. I'd like to emphasize that this is a working draft intended to give industry members insight into message types and formats, information to be collected, and introduce the concepts of execution assignment and allocation to beneficial owner, any and all of which we expect to foster robust discussion. You should not begin coding to the spec at this time, as it remains subject to change based on the feedback process discussed on the previous slide. While providing some basic material information, we recognize there's still required information to be provided as we've listed here. You can expect to see updates to the specs, including this information, in the coming weeks. Leave that up there for a moment. I know there's a lot of information there to ingest. Would you mind going to the next slide, please? For those that may not be aware, although based on the earlier topics on this conversation, you probably are now aware, we've established a website dedicated to the CAT-NMS plan with a URL to match, www.catnmsplan.com. Here we'll be posting things like specifications, news, FAQs, and training materials as they become available.
This is Shane Swanson. Just a point to make here, obviously, as with most things that we're doing right now, this is a work in progress. You shouldn't go to the CAT-NMS website and expect everything is there. You will see this growing and evolving as we dive in towards the completion dates. So, again, it has a lot of information. You should go to it and review what is available there and revisit it frequently because it will continue to be updated.
Thank you, Shane. I appreciate that. And if you could go on to the next slide, please. Thank you. Lastly, assuming Nature doesn't have other plans for us, members of Thesis CAT and members of CAT NMS plan committees will be participating in upcoming industry events as listed here. We hope to see you there and would be happy to answer any of your questions in person. However, with that, thank you for your time. I'll hand back to Alex, and we can discuss any other questions you have right now.
Thanks, Todd. All right, so at this point, I think we've got a couple of questions that have come in here. I'd remind everybody, if you do have questions, please go ahead and submit those in the WebEx question box here. Again, I do want to reiterate, which, I think Thesis covered here, the real goal with this first draft of the specs is to start to gather some of that industry feedback here. Very much want to make sure that the specs are something that that work well for the industry. I know that's very important to both Thesis as plan processor and also to the operating committee of CAT. Very much want to make sure we have a workable set of specs here. A lot of work has gone into that to date. Obviously, there is a lot of work still to come, but the entire reason behind this sort of 2.5 month sort of iterative review process here is to make sure that we are getting a set of workable specs for the industry. So as you review the specs, like we mentioned, they are up on the website right now. Please keep that in mind. Please submit any questions, comments, feedback on those specs to the email address that was listed earlier. It's in the specs as well, and we very much look forward to your feedback here. All right, so we've gotten a couple of questions in here. You certainly invite any others as they come through here. So a couple of just procedural questions, questions about whether or not the presentation and the WebEx we posted up on the website. We do plan to post the presentation up on the website. All these timelines and such that have been discussed here are public as well. Certainly, we will post this up there. Very much want to make sure everybody remains aware of the timelines here. There was a question about where you can get the specs on the website. So if you go to the website, there is a link right up top that says how it works. Click that, and you will see a first draft of the specs, as we mentioned here. All right, we have another question here around the timelines themselves. So the question is, why the compressed timeline for customer data specs seems more time should be made available here? Frankly, I don't think it's just the customer data specs that have a compressed timeline here. There is a pretty aggressive timeline against the entire project altogether. In particular, obviously, the ESROs themselves start reporting this thing in just a couple months here. Within those that sort of rule prescribed timeline here, I think everybody is doing the best they can to provide as much time as possible for those. Certainly, I think the customer specs, those have to be finalized by May. Certainly, we would expect that in a process similar to this, there would be drafts of that provided ahead of that so that folks could start to get a little bit familiar with those and start to provide feedback on those ahead of time as well. But certainly, everyone is sympathetic to that and very much want to make sure that we are doing everything we can to minimize the impact of that. All right, we have another question about customer information as well here. Will customer information such as SSN need to be sent for each reportable event or only once and use a customer identifier for subsequent reports? So really, I think two questions there. So customer information generally, unique identifiers such as Social Security number, tax identification number for corporations, LEI to the extent that it is being captured, identifiers like that will have to be provided to the CAT. That is one of the requirements. The specifics of what exactly that looks like, of course, will come in due time with the customer specs. In terms of how they will need to be reported, no one intends that Social Security number and whatever else will have to be reported on each individual event itself. I think the way the plan lays this out is that customer information will be provided via a separate process. You'll have to, when you first set up on the CAT, you'll have to provide a sort of master update of all of your customer information, and then you'll have to provide regular updates to that going forward on a daily basis, sort of identifying any changes. And then what you would do, you'll have to use what is called a firm designated ID which is described to some degree in the tech specs that were just published today, to link that back to the customer data. And that firm designated ID will be a unique ID, unique to your firm, that uniquely identifies the account and the customer behind that. All right, we have a question about large and small broker-dealer reporting. So large broker-dealers have to start reporting in November of 2018, and small broker-dealers have to start reporting in November of 2019. And the question is, the question is, how has that categorization worked? So this categorization is using an SEC definition. The rule itself requires that definition. The definition according to that, it actually defines small broker-dealer, and that is a broker-dealer that has total capital of less than $500,000, number one. And number two, is not affiliated with any person that is not a small business or small organization. That's a standard SEC definition that's been in use for some time. And so basically those small broker-dealers have to report in November of 2019. Everybody who does not fit that definition has to report in November of 2018. As was mentioned, depending on the finalization of the retirement of systems filings, some of those small broker-dealers that may move a bit to facilitate the retirement of OATS, which obviously is something that is very important to the industry here, one of the key sort of goals here for CAT. So keep an eye on that. Obviously, as that is finalized, we'll be keeping everyone well informed of that. All right, we have a question. If you are a member, which spec do we use, participant spec or the industry member spec? Good question. Yeah, so the participant tech spec only applies to the exchanges, to the SROs. It is the spec for those that start reporting this November. It's just the exchanges there. The industry member tech specs covers all members, right? Members of an exchange or members of a firm that would include the ATSs. Yes, so there's a question. There's a question on the retirement of duplicative orders, or sorry, duplicative reporting. I give it a little bit more details on that for large BDs. So that's a tricky question to answer. The answer to that is it depends, and it depends, frankly, on the system we're talking about. Obviously, the big two that have been focused on are OATS and EBS. FINRA, obviously, is responsible for OATS, and EBS is fundamentally an SEC regulation, and obviously the exchanges themselves have corresponding rules for that. The FINRA regulation is public. I think everybody, or the proposal at least, is public. I think everybody can go read that. I think the key component of that FINRA proposal is once all current OATS reporters are reporting and the data quality is of sufficient quality to allow FINRA to retire OATS, they will do so. Obviously, that is a great simplification of what is probably a much more complex process than that, and so I don't necessarily want to speak too much for FINRA. I will point everybody to the rule on that FINRA published, the filing that FINRA published on that. From an EBS perspective, I think that is fundamentally an SEC question. Everyone expects that as more and more data comes into CAT, there would just simply be fewer and fewer EBS requests. I will point out EBS has a broader scope than CAT does, right? So it includes securities that are not included in CAT. So EBS is not going to go away altogether, but everyone does expect that the number of EBS requests coming through would be greatly reduced. So related question here. As we begin to report to CAT, will we still report to OATS? Yes, good question. So there will be a period of duplicative reporting here. I think, as I mentioned, part of the key question here is the quality of the data coming into CAT. I think everybody who's done things like this understands that on day one, as everybody starts to report this, the error rate is probably going to be significantly higher than it will be even just a few months after that, as folks get familiar with the reporting, as systems get further debugged, and so on and so forth. So to that end, CAT is not going to go live on day one, and on day two, all the systems will be retired, because everybody does need to make sure that they can still perform their surveillance obligations. Everybody is, as I said, very much incentivized to get that done as soon as possible, but it is fundamentally tied to that data quality question, as I discussed a minute ago. All right, we have a spec-related question here. If a firm-designated ID has multiple account numbers, then will the customer data accept multiple records for a customer with the same firm-designated ID but different account numbers to the customer? So I think the question here fundamentally is, if you have different account numbers, would those have different firm-designated IDs? That might be a question for Thesis. Todd, Preeti, do you guys want to take that one?
So this is Todd. If I'm understanding correctly, the question seems to be about single customer, multiple accounts, which one do you put in? So the idea here is the end client. So if it's, I would suggest it's the customer account, not the name of the person, right? So if you have a joint account and an individual account, those would be two different IDs because they're two different accounts. That's how I would expect that to come through. I don't know if anyone has any contrary as far as the EOC or anyone else to that.
Thanks, Todd. All right. Here's another firm designated ID question while we're on that topic. Within firm designated ID, the specs say firms are permitted to use an account number or other ID, but it must be unique per CAT report or per trade date. It must not have multiple separate customers with the same ID on any given date. The question is, how does that work with joint accounts? Todd, I think you partially answered this question just a second ago, but you want to answer this one?
I believe it's the same thing here. So what we're trying to get to is the account of record that entered the order, and in turn, assuming they got an execution, the execution or cancel that went with it. So the uniqueness here is the account itself.
Right, and then presumably, and of course, this would be in the customer specs that are still to come. Obviously, you'd have to identify the customers associated with that account, but the immediate question, firm designated ID, is at the account level.
I think that's very fair. You're absolutely right. So the customer information, if I can just repeat what you said, would be a tying of who is the owner of or who are the owners of said account, but it's the account of record that we would want for or that CAT would need for the orders and executions and then the subsequent allocations of shares afterwards.
Perfect. Thanks, Todd. All right. Your question, will there be two separate CAT reports, one containing trade data and the other containing customer data? So that's right. You will have to report your trade data, and that obviously will include all of the reportable events that are included in the specs, right? So there are orders, routes, executions, allocations, so on and so forth. All those order-related, trade-related events, those would include the firm-designated ID on them. And then there will be a separate spec that includes the customer identification information associated with those accounts. So that's where the link happens there. There's a question here around whether there's consideration for alternate reporting formats, e.g. FIX. Todd, I'll take a first pass at this one and then tell me if I'm totally wrong on this. You know, I think fundamentally that's part of what we're the kind of feedback we're looking to get as part of this first process here, right? The first set of specs are being published for purposes of gathering feedback here, trying to get the reaction from the industry here, and fundamentally understand where there are things that may provide a sticking point for the industry here, and try to understand that and adjust as needed. Todd, Ed, Shane, is that a fair statement?
Alex, I think you have it right there. Again, this is an iterative process. We're starting it now. We'll be gathering this up and continuing to solidify the position as we go forward. That being said, we don't want to over-promise and under-deliver. You know, at this stage, that's not part of our scoping effort, but certainly it's part of the feedback we're looking to get.
Okay. Will there be a web portal starting day one for firms, for broker-dealers to see mismatches and try to repair any issues? Yes, absolutely. So one of the requirements of the plan is for there to be a pretty robust error correction process here where firms will be able to be notified of, go check those errors, and go correct those errors. It's in the SRO's own best interest to get as much quality data as they can, and so everyone is very much in tune with that. I think there have been a lot of lessons learned over the years with reporting regimes like OATS. Everybody's hoping to learn from those and really make as robust a process as possible here. So kind of a policy question here. Will there be any leniency or grace period given for error submitted data during the initial start of reporting? So that's a tricky question. I don't think there's any plan to have a sort of formal grace period. I don't think anybody wants to encourage poor reporting up front. Certainly there will be testing, robust testing ahead of time. That said, I think most people understand that early reporting is probably not going to have quite as high of a degree of accuracy as you might have later. That being said, however, everybody does expect that everybody is making their best effort to get this thing right on day one. So we certainly don't want to encourage folks to not really be focusing on quality from day one here. Process question here, will there be FAQs published? So actually there are FAQs right now up on the website. I expect that as we get into the nitty-gritty of the tech specs and reporting here, that those FAQs will continue to be reported and will become quite robust. Many of these questions that are up there now and some of the ones that are being asked today are things that we would expect many people to have here, and obviously do want to have a simple place where folks can go to get answers to that without necessarily having to pick up the phone or send a specific email or things to that effect. Short answer, yes, there are FAQs, and those FAQs will continue to be updated. Definitely want to make those as robust as possible. Can a firm make multiple CAT submissions on the same trading day if the submissions contain completely separate trading data? I believe the answer to that is yes. I don't think anybody has any problems with you making multiple submissions on a given day. That said, thesis team, is that correct?
Absolutely.
All right, easy answer. So here's a question about order sending organizations. Today there are OSOs, order sending organizations for OATS reporting. For those not familiar, these are basically firms that will report on your behalf. You'll send them all your trade data and they'll sort of do all the formatting and such and report that to OATS on your behalf. The question is, what is a similar concept for CAT? Can broker-dealers outsource CAT to a service provider? The answer is absolutely yes. The tech specs are being built absolutely with that in mind. As you get into that, you will see there are a couple of fields that affect geared towards that. Obviously, the SROs and thesis certainly don't endorse any particular OSO, but there will, I'm sure, be quite a few firms out there offering services like this. Let's see here. Do firms who are reporting on behalf, so again, related to OSOs, will firms who are reporting on behalf of other customers need to register themselves with CAT or thesis? There will have to be some sort of registration there. From a security perspective, thesis needs to know who you are to be submitting data into the CAT. So there will have to be some sort of registration process associated with that. I don't know that we know the specific details of exactly mechanically what that will look like yet. But absolutely, there will have to be some sort of sign-up process there, due diligence from a security perspective, and there will have to be sort of key swaps and things like that going on to make sure everybody is ready to do that and do it in a secure manner. Let's see. So I know part of the spec requires options orders to contain Greeks. Is this required value and require all of these options? So this is another good example of a question. This is exactly the type of feedback that we're looking to get from the specs. I know we actually got some feedback on that earlier today from a couple folks. I'm sure we'll continue to get feedback on several of these points here. I think that is very useful Certainly very interested to hear the industry's perspective on this. Will customer data rejects and mismatches be handled, managed through the same feedback process as order of merit, a separate set of feedback? So I guess two things here. One, I think the very specifics of this will be part of the customer spec, which will be out several months from now. So I'll have the nitty-gritty details for you here. Certainly, they will all be that will be part of the sort of error correction process that I described earlier, where there will be sort of notifications and alerts, and you'll be able to go onto the reporter portal, look at your data, and sort of see what rejected and corrected that. Absolutely, the same sort of robust correction error identification type processes have to be in place there as well. The nitty-gritty specifics of that will have to come in the future specs here. Yeah, so there's a policy question here, I think, around PII and sort of asking why PII is required to be reported into CAT. Sort of wondering what the benefit of that is and what impact does that have on security. So a couple things here. So number one, security, I think, is probably one of the single biggest concerns for the SROs and for thesis. I know we've spent the SROs and thesis and the SEC staff have spent exhaustive amounts of time discussing security, and that continues. There are a pretty robust set of security controls described in the plan. I know that thesis is required to comply with all of the NIST security standards and to update, to have sort of regular security policy reviews, penetration tests, a security audit. There are a number of controls that are applied here to try to keep that data as secure as possible. And I will say that is one of the single biggest focus areas for the SROs and for thesis has been to date and will continue to be going forward. With regards to the question as to why, that's fundamentally a surveillance question, right? One of the key objectives of CAT is to be able to sort of modernize and facilitate some cross-market surveillance here, and to really effectively be able to do cross-market surveillance, you need to be able to understand to conclusively identify entities doing activities across markets, and that sort of requires some level of PII data. And that's why that data is required in the rule and therefore in the plan. We have a question as to when the help desk is going live. We talked about this briefly earlier. So the industry help desk, the full help desk, is going live November 15th. Prior to that, for tech spec related purposes, I know there is an email address set up to provide feedback. I think that's techspecs@thesiscat.com. So that's how you'll get feedback there or in regards to the specs. On November 15th, there will be a full help desk up and running for folks to the extent that folks have more specific questions or non-tech spec related questions. Let's see. So the question around client data and error corrections, again, sort of going back to another question we had earlier. So client data is new. What type of error corrections might we expect as a result? For example, we'll be reconciling client addresses across broker-dealers. So some of this, again, is going to have to come in the customer tech specs. There will have to be some degree, I think, of that cross-broker-dealer normalization here. Again, I think one of the key points or key objectives of CAT is to be able to facilitate that sort of cross-market surveillance, and that necessarily requires you to be able to conclusively identify people across markets. The specifics of exactly what that will look like and sort of what would constitute a reject and what wouldn't is definitely something that we're still looking at and will have to be part of the tech specs coming out here in the near future. All right, we had a question around LEI. Why isn't the LEI a sufficient identifier for surveillance purposes? LEI is not in all cases a required reporting attribute into the CAT, is the fundamental answer to this. As the SROs were looking at this, they wanted to be careful that they weren't effectively requiring adoption of LEI via tech specs. And so as part of that, LEI is only required to be reported to CAT to the extent that it is something that you as a broker-dealer are already capturing from your customers. So there's no obligation for folks to start using LEI or to go capture LEIs that they don't already have. If you do have it already, either for yourself or for your customers, you will have to report it, but to the extent that you don't, you will not. Given that not everybody's going to be reporting it, unfortunately, you can't use that as the unique identifier. Fundamentally, individuals, two-legged persons, don't necessarily have LEIs, so you can't use that in replacement for PII. All right. I understand the document is a draft as of now. Are there sections of the document that are not expected to change for sure? I don't think there's anything that's safe to say definitely will not change. Todd, Shane, Ed, are there any sections of the document you would say are probably more well locked down than others?
As comfortable as we are with the initial implementation or delivery, we're not comfortable at this time saying anything is completely locked down.
Fair enough. I think that goes to the sort of concept here that really looking at this first draft as a discussion document, really to start driving some of these broader industry discussions here. I think that's fair. Another error correction question here. Whether the rejects, mismatches, and unlinked items, just like there are in OATS today. Fundamentally, there will be some of the same types of errors, right? So things that just aren't accepted at all, things that are accepted but have some sort of mismatches, and things that are accepted or valid data but just don't link up to any counterparty trade. Certainly there will be a lot more to it than that, I think. Certainly there's a lot more to the OATS errors than that today. Fundamentally, from an order event tracking perspective, there's a lot of similarities there, and so there will definitely be some similarities, at least in terms of conceptually the way errors work. Specifics, of course, are still somewhat to come. Sorry, just looking at the questions here, make sure there's nothing we haven't already answered. So the question, are the SROs ready to report to CAT by November of this year? Yes, absolutely. So the SROs have been working with Thesis on this for quite some time now. Participant specs were published a couple months ago. The SROs are hard at work building out their systems to report here, and obviously Thesis is hard at work building out the repository to accept that. All right, there's a question around account types here. And sort of what account types will be coming. I think details around account type are going to be part of the customer data spec, which I know is not out yet. Really, the spec that's out right now is focused around order data. There is, of course, the concept of firm designated ID, because that is required as part of the order data to link orders back to customers. But the specifics of what the unique list of account types are going to be, I think that'll have to be part of the customer specs coming down the road here. There's a question here, will the specs include illustrations of order scenarios similar to the OATS tech specs? Yes, absolutely. There are a few in the specs right now, obviously not as many as there will be when this thing is done. If you look at, for instance, the participant tech specs, there are voluminous examples and documents of that in the back of that document. We would expect there would be that plus even more on the industry specs once this thing is done. Obviously, this being a discussion document, what Thesis wanted to focus on first and foremost was making sure that the core concepts were in there. So that's what they have focused on to date. I know they are hard at work on some more of those illustrations in the background here. All right, there's a question around firm designated ID here and whether or not you'll be able to recycle old firm designated IDs. So I believe, and Todd, I'll punt this one to you here, I believe firm designated ID just has to be unique per firm per day. So if you had a firm designated ID and, you know, it went dormant or whatever and you used it again weeks, months, whatever down the road, I think that will be okay. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
That's correct.
Okay. So basically, it's unique per reporting firm per day.
Agreed. And I guess stating the obvious, that it's unique per firm per day, it can be reported as such, so long as that information, that new information, has been submitted as part of the customer information.
Yes, that's a good point there. So, so basically, if you do submit a firm designated ID, you have to also obviously provide the customer data behind that firm designated ID. The specifics of how you would do so and what that data is will be in the customer data spec to come here. All right, I think we're running through the questions here. So, I just want to say, I think from the SRO side, very much appreciate the time here, very much appreciate the questions. I think, it's productive here. We very much want to make sure we continue these outreach events. I know there will be more coming down the road. I know we laid out a couple of events that folks will be speaking at. Certainly, we intend to do some more events like this as we get a little further down the road here. Again, want to thank everybody for their time. Please take a look at the specs. They are up on the website at this point. There is, as I said, there's an email address for feedback on that. And certainly we will keep everyone posted as this thing evolves. So thank you guys very much for the time. I appreciate it, and have a good day. Thank you.
And that concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.